Planet VC, how the globalization of venture capital is driving the next wave of innovation. Written by Terence Phillips and James DiBiasio. Narrated by Joe Farinacci. Foreword by Bill Tye. Before co-founding Apple Computer, Steve Wozniak had a company with Steve Jobs selling phone-freaking devices called the Blue Box. The U.S. phone system had a set of switches whereby if you played a 2600 Hz frequency into a payphone, you could unlock the computer switching system and make free phone calls. There was a hacker network that published something called 2600. It was a Bible for people who liked to mess around with electronics. When I was in junior high school, I took apart my Radio Shack 101 kit and made a Blue Box. I'd ride my bicycle around Moraine Valley Community College, Illinois, making free phone calls. That led me into electronics. Fast forward to 2012, when Eric Yuan, an ex-Cisco software engineer, asked me to invest in his startup. It was a video conferencing idea, like Skype, but without the user needing to have an account. You could just log in. I became the first investor in Zoom. I invited everyone I knew to my annual kite-surfing get-together on Necker Island and made them all try it. Zoom became the ultimate tool for venture capitalists. We could operate anywhere, anytime. The global companies that I invested in, like Treasure Data, Bitfury, and Canva, could not have been built without Zoom. Bitfury had 700 employees in 16 countries, but never had an office. Canva was founded in Perth, Australia, which would have meant a lot more flying. Most of all, Eric's company was cloud-native, unlike the competition, so it could scale. By 2019, shortly after Zoom listed on NASDAQ, valued at $15.9 billion, the infrastructure for Zoom was designed to support 30 million meetings a day. Then COVID hit. By February 2020, when the world was scrambling to work from home, Zoom could handle 200 million meetings a day. It was doing 300 million by March. The book you're reading wouldn't have been possible without Zoom. Planet VC is a pandemic baby. Terence Phillips and James DiBiasio conducted all their interviews on Zoom. Even without COVID, it would have been too expensive and time-consuming for them to track down in person all the venture capitalists interviewed in this book. I first met Terence in the early 2000s when he was with Silicon Valley Bank, SVB. For a long time, the world's leading financial service provider to venture capital and innovation companies. Terence was the banker of choice for VC firms being established in places like India, China, Israel, and the UK. He had inherited a small book of VC relationships from SVB's Pacific Rim team and, under the leadership of SVB global head Ash Lilani, helped the bank expand innovation beyond the traditional networks of Silicon Valley. I later reconnected with Terence in Hong Kong, where he now leads Citi Private Bank's private equity client coverage, serving Asia's biggest private equity firms, investing locally and globally. He's still building and maintaining relationships with private capital worldwide, and one of the introductions he made to me is James. During our conversations, James asked perceptive questions and told me about his work as a journalist and author. The two of them seem to make a good team. This book is testament enough. It's an important book because the innovation economy and the role of venture capital is not well understood. But I'm especially supportive of this work because its focus is not on Silicon Valley, but on the rest of the world. It's personal for me. I feel that in many ways the story Terence and James have told is a version of my own life and career, writ large. I was accepted to Princeton University, but blew it off as they did not have a good electronic engineering department. I went to the University of Illinois, home to one of the three inventors of the transistor. I studied digital logic, computing design, and semiconductor physics. I paid for college by doing contract work for